Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on KU Band Radio at Telstar 5, 7 days a week on Truth Radio Network, and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and the Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on organic right after this message. If you have a lot 50 by 100 feet with a 2,000 square foot house, you have space for six raised beds that contain 2,400 square feet. Now that's called French intensive culture. 2,400 square feet is enough space to grow all of the food that a family of five or six will eat in an entire year. You can do that in the middle of a city just as easily as you can out in the country. The idea that you're trapped in the city and you cannot provide for yourself and your family because of space or space limitation is a fiction. You do not need extra cash to buy a tractor, a plow, or a harrow. A shovel, a rake, and a hoe is more in line with what you need for an urban French intensive culture farm. And we don't need acres, combines, or price supports. We need pruners, newspaper for mulch, and open pollinated seed. If you've got 2,400 square feet or a backyard big enough for a decent garden, you can feed your entire family on your own land, right in the middle of the city. It has space in my seed package, which is designed to answer your questions with the most economical and practical solutions to your long-term food needs. For vegetables, so you need less land, less fertilizer, less water, less mulch, and less work. And it's been designed with immediate food availability that is only 28 days from seed to salad. And it has flowers to attract wild pollinators because of the loss of your honeybee population to these chemical sprays and disease. And it's been designed with a long harvest season to allow for fresh vegetables longer and to reduce stress by not making you can, dry, or store everything all at once. You don't need specialized tools. You don't need tractors and chemical fertilizers or chemical sprays. You need a rake, a hoe, and a shovel, plus a supply of newspaper mulch, which is enough to plant and raise every seed in my package, and a pair of clippers and a paring knife is all you need to harvest it. And the package is designed with all of the non-hybrid, non-genetically modified seeds and can feed a family of six forever, if you're sensible and save your seeds. Now, if you'd like to learn more about organic farming, organic culture, and organic gardening, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can order yours right now by simply calling 417-273-4967. And my Subsistence and Survival School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, just go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click on the email machine and send me an email request for your free General Law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about organic. Organic covers more than just food. It covers a lifestyle. It covers what you put on under your arms, what you put on your feet, the clothes you put on your back, the way you live your life, and of course, it includes what you put into your mouth. When we think of organic, we think in terms of food. We think in terms of milk, meat, butter, eggs, vegetables, and fruits. For most people, the word organic instantly brings to mind food rather than any other organic products, and much of this program is, of course, devoted to the subject of food. Organic standards are at present almost completely focused on agriculture. The main focus of farming around the world is obviously the production of food for both human and animal consumption. We've seen an amazing transformation in eating habits over the past 10 or 20 years. And the big push for convenient processed foods is slowly but surely being replaced by consumer wariness. The reasons for this are clear. In the late 1990s, ideology shifted, and we're no longer willing to put our health in the hands of experts who have in the past proved to be so fallible on so many counts. And in increasing numbers, we're now choosing to take responsibility for our own well-being. This has been illustrated by the dramatic surge in complementary medicine, in the use of nutritional supplements, and in the focus on preventative medicine. Eating well is one of the cornerstones of preventative medicine. Illness has been linked on a continuing and increasing basis with the food that we eat, and we now know that conventionally farmed food often contains fewer nutrients and a whole lot more toxic poisons. Additionally, weeks may pass before it reaches our supermarket shelves, by which time what little food value it may have contained has been even further compromised. Animal products are very little better. Then consider the processing. You know, more than two-thirds of the food that we eat in the Western world has been processed. It has been stripped of its nutrients, although some may be added back in. Heat treated, possibly irradiated, and then blended with an astonishing array of chemicals. You do not need a rocket scientist to work out that the majority of our food is substandard. And if food is so important for health, filling our bodies with junk is obviously going to create problems. These problems are simply called disease. Now, bring on the food scares. Over the past decade, countless legitimate problems with the food that we eat have been brought to the attention of consumers. Every single one of these problems, from salmonella and other food poisoning agencies to BSE and pesticide poisoning, has been caused by conventional, intensive, industrial farming methods. Now, finding a solution, organic food undoubtedly offers a solution. Whether or not the critics will ever agree that it contains more nutrients is irrelevant. Something that is pure and unadulterated, grown without the use of toxic chemicals in soil that contains a rich source of nutrients, will always be better for us. Common sense should tell us that. In the long term, that can have a dramatic effect on our overall health and well-being. Consumers obviously agree. Britain's biggest supermarket chain is predicting that by the year 2005, sales of its organic food will quadruple to an estimated $1.5 billion. Now, here are some organic statistics. Consumers are choosing organic products in ever-increasing numbers, and they're doing so for a variety of reasons, ranging from health to environmental concerns. A survey conducted recently provided the following revealing information concerning consumers' motivations for the choices of foods that they make. For instance, 29% of people opted to eat some organic products. The most popular organic product was fruits and vegetables, bought by 18% of those surveyed. 10% of people occasionally bought organic meat, dairy products, and bread. And of those who did opt for organic alternatives, 60% gave health as their main reason, while 50% also said that they were attracted by the lack of pesticides. 46% of people thought organic food contained more vitamins and minerals. 9% were worried about genetic modification. 6% were concerned about the link between BSE and Jacobs-Creutzfeldt disease. 29% thought that organic alternatives simply tasted better than traditionally farmed food. And 8% went organic because they thought the farming practices were better for the environment. Now, when we look at dairy products, dairy produce has been a subject of concern for many years, and given what it forms, or that it forms, the basis of so much of the Western diet, in particular that of children, it should not be surprising that organic alternatives have been so successful. Now, although BSE has not been linked to milk, it is fairly obvious that many problems, or any problems affecting cattle, will make their way into milk. And we know that human breast milk can contain toxins from a mother's body, and that cows grazing in polluted areas pick up pollutants and pass them on in their milk, such as strontium 90. Conventionally farmed dairy cows are now expected to produce up to 15,000 pounds of milk per year. Just 100 years ago, the annual milk yield was around 2,000 pounds. To increase milk production, selective breeding has taken place, and cows are separated from their calves at an early age. Mastitis, ketosis, staggers, and milk fever, all associated with higher milk production, have become increasingly common, requiring antibiotics to deal with them. Instead of grazing in nutrient-rich pastures, cows are now fed with a high-protein feed in the form of pellets, including various grains, soybeans, and fish and poultry waste. These are not natural foods for plant-eating animals and can cause digestive problems, again requiring more medication. And unless they're organically reared, dairy cows will almost certainly have eaten GM crops in their feed. Now, there is an organic alternative. Organically raised cows graze on organic pastures that have not been treated with any pesticides or fertilizers. That means that fewer, if any, residues exist in their milk. The health of the animals is encouraged with homeopathy, or herbs, often being the first line of treatment when an animal does become ill. Pastures contain nutrient-rich and varied grasses and plants. Organic dairy cows cannot be kept indoors or permanently tethered, and they're a whole lot less likely to suffer from any of the health problems associated with unhygienic, cramped conditions, and the yield of an organic cow is much lower than that of a conventionally raised dairy cow. And no stimulants, such as BST, can be used in the production of milk in an organic dairy. Now, there's a product called BST. It's got a long name. It's called somatotropin, S-O-M-A-T-O-T-R-O-P-I-N. It's known as BST. This BST is a genetically engineered growth hormone that has been legally used in the United States since 1994. But it has been banned by the Canadian government's Health Department, Health Canada, and by the EU to increase milk production in dairy herds by up to 25%. So you can see the motivation. We feed this chemical, this enzyme, this chemical additive. It's manufactured by Monsanto. and we get 25% more milk. Now, nobody has ever figured out, when you put this stuff into the cow and you take the milk out and you feed it to children, what is this going to do to those children? What's it going to do to them over the next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years? Here's one of the factors that we discovered. When you feed pasteurized milk to cats, in 4 generations, they will become sterile. Let me repeat that. Cats, 4 generations, pasteurized milk, they become sterile. Have you begun to wonder why we're having reproductive problems in the United States? I mean, they talk about Viagra, you know, like it's Pilsner beer now. I mean, if you're not taking Viagra or one of its competitor products so that you can have sex, you know, there must be something that you're missing in life. I don't take Viagra. Why in the world would I need that kind of crap? I'm not sexually impaired, and I'm 65 years old, for crying out loud, and neither is my wife, but we don't eat crap either. Now, the American diet has been filled with toxic chemical poisons for nearly 100 years. You know, there's, they call it a generation in 20 years. Actually, it's 40 years as a generation. That's the way God calculated. So we've been doing this for 2.5 generations. In 2.5 generations, we have reproductive problems in the United States. What do you think it's going to be like when we get out to the 4th generation like cats? Do you think maybe we may be sterile? Well, they go on to say here that many cows that survive are unable to stand because their bones have become too weak to support them. Yeah, some research claims that the hormone has been responsible for wiping out 20% of some herds. The cow's immune systems become impaired, increasing their vulnerability to severe bladder and udder infections. And it's also claimed that BST drains calcium from their bones. Many cows that survive are unable to stand because their bones have become too weak to support them. If this is what the BST does to the cow, and then you're going to drink the cow's milk. Now, let's be intelligent people here. You blow up a bomb over on the other side of the world. The bomb puts strontium-90 up in the air. The strontium-90 flows through the air and falls on the pasture lands of Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri. The dairy cows eat the grass that's now been contaminated by the strontium-90. The strontium-90 goes through the cow and comes out in her milk, and you feed the milk to the child. Now, we've heard that. You know, we know that for the last 40, 50 years. 40 years, anyway. Now, hasn't it occurred to us yet that when you feed these chemicals to the cows, that it comes through in the cow's milk, and your children are now drinking, ingesting this artificial hormone called BST. Now get this, this BST does what to the cows? Some research claims that the hormone has been responsible for wiping out almost 20% of some herds. The cow's immune systems become impaired, increasing their vulnerabilities to severe bladder and udder infections. And it's also claimed that BST drains calcium from their bones. Many cows that survive are unable to stand because their bones have become too weak to support them. Now we're going to feed that to our cows. That's what it does to the cows. And we're going to drink the milk out of those cows. And we don't expect any adverse results from that. Are we kidding ourselves? Have we taken leave of our senses? Who in his right mind would want to risk something like that? You know, I'm not sure I would want to drink that milk after 40 years of testing, and they came back and said, you know, we looked at this stuff and we can't find any adverse reactions to it. And they haven't tested it. It came out in the market, was legalized in 1994. It's been out here for 10 years. Half the dairymen stopped using it because it wiped out 20% of their cattle. And those that are still using it are putting it into the milk, putting it into your body. Are you really sure you want to experiment with BST in your body? Now, listen, I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success, and I'm not here to tell you what to buy, what to eat, or how to eat it. It just seemed like to me that you ought to see the other side of the coin. You know, you've been watching the chemical industrial Monsanto side of the coin all of your life, the Department of Agriculture, the FDA, the movies and newspapers, and all of these influences in our society have been telling us how good and wonderful this stuff is. There's another side to the coin. I just thought I'd share that with you and see, you know, if you might want to reconsider. This is coming from Organic Living, Karen Sullivan. Organic Living, Organic Sullivan, probably about $10. I'd say no more than 10. Barnes & Noble is where I think this came from. You can get a copy. I recommend it highly. And I also recommend that you get a subscription to Acres USA. Acres USA, the phone number for Acres are down in Austin, Texas. It's 1-800-355-5313. It's the Echo Update. It's the ecological newspaper of America's organic farmers. And it ought to be the Echo Update of America's organic consumers, because this paper will tell you who is raising, growing, marketing, and producing the organic food that you're out here looking for. If you can't find it where you're at, why don't you go to Acres USA and let's see if we can't connect you with the co-op or connect you with the producers to give you good, healthy, nutritious food. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was about 73 days for every man, woman, and child on the planet. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. Less than 38 days. Now, we produce grain for export, and then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, berries from Guatemala, garlic from China. You know, our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support the Global 2000 Population Reduction Program. And this globalization is probably very good for business, very good for Walmart. But this globalization is not good for you, and it's not good for me. I can remember back when I was a kid, back in the 1940s, we all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year. We had a year's supply in our house every year. Today, we're down to a three-day supply. We keep that in our refrigerators, and we believe passionately in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us forever. But over the past 60 years, we Americans have traded a one-year food supply for 3 days. You know, somehow that just doesn't strike me as being brilliant, nor does it strike me as being very safe, wise, or prudent. And these global 2,000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce Earth's population. They're going to do it by 90% over the next 50 years. That's what they're telling us. That's what they're writing about. That's what they put in their books. That's what they're telling us. They're not bashful. And these evil madmen with their global 2,000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say, let them die for their cause, and then let you and I live for ours. Then let me show you from the scriptures how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. To learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto that email machine and send me an email request for that free General Law CD package. Remember, it's educational. It's free. It's informative. It's entertaining. All right, that's georgegordon.org on the email machine, or call direct 417-273-4967. And while you're writing down telephone numbers, why don't you write down Acres USA, 1-800-355-5313. Again, that's 1-800-355-5313. Well, talking about this BST, there are fears that the antibiotics that are used to treat cattle following BST injections could encourage the growth of antibiotic-resistant microbes that can infect humans. BST has also been linked through high levels of a growth factor called EGF-1 to increase risks of breast, colon, muscle, and prostate cancer. It hasn't been adequately tested. Indeed, it's never been tested at all. They just put it in the food supply, and the test has been going on since 1994, and you're the guinea pig. We'll see how it turns out. You go ahead and test it, and let me watch and see how you turn out. Now, when we talk about organic dairy products, sour cream and cream, organic options contain no genetically modified ingredients and use only organic milk. Lecithin, which is often genetically modified, is frequently used in ultra-heat-treated and reduced fat, low-calorie brands of conventional cheese. Ice cream. Organic brands contain no genetically modified ingredients and cannot use BST milk. Only 5% of the ingredients can be non-organic, but these must be genetically free. Yogurt. Organic yogurts should be free of both artificial flavorings and additives. As with some of the products, they may use up to 5% non-organic ingredients, but these must be genetically modified, free, and fully traceable. Only organic milk can be used to make organic yogurt. Organic cheese. Organic cheese uses non-GM vegetarian rennet, no colorings except for annetto. That's a naturally red coloring traditionally used to make red Leicester and double Gloucester cheese are used, and organic cheese uses only certified organic milk. In organic fruits and vegetables, the main issue affecting conventionally farmed fruits and vegetables is the use of pesticides. That's been linked to a wide variety of health problems. Researchers claim that the most heavily sprayed foods include lettuce, oranges, pears, apples, celery, and carrots. However, genetically modified fresh tomatoes and GM potatoes that are designed to provide a higher starch content are already available in the United States, and other fruits and vegetables are likely to follow in the near future. There's a growing concern, both in North America and the United Kingdom, that many of the fruits and vegetables that we buy have now been cross-pollinated by GM crops. Now, let me point something out here that may help you a little bit. We have a supermarket here locally called Town and Country Market in Gainesville. They probably have 6 or 8 stores here in the local area. They're not the big supermarkets like Kroger and Walmart, but they're, you know, they're fair to middle and respectable for small town. Well, they have a produce manager in each one of their stores, and my wife went in and talked to the produce manager. She happens to know the guy, knew him from years back when he went to school with one of our children. And she said, "Hey, Bart, could you get me organic carrots?" And he said, "Certainly." Now, the Town and Country Market does not carry organic in their store. They're just normal, everyday garden variety, run-of-the-mill, industrial farm store, you know, just like a Safeway and Kroger's and everybody else. But they can get it. And here's the surprising part. They can get organic fruits and vegetables if they want. Now, they choose not to because they cost more money. And because they cost more money, the And they don't want to buy them, put them in their store, because they'd have to compete then with Kroger's and the other stores, and they're afraid that they'll lose business. I think the opposite is true, that if you put organic in there and give me a choice between organic carrots and inorganic carrots, even if they cost twice as much. And here's the surprising part. We pay anywhere from 5 to 10 cents a pound for carrots, depending upon where they come from. 25 cents a pound. Five times more. You know, somewhere between five times and double the price of chemical carrots. Now, here's a surprise. Did you know that carrots are used to clean up land? When land becomes so chemically saturated that it's no longer viable, or its production has gone down, its capacity has been brought down, they plant carrots on that ground to suck out those chemicals. Then what do they do with these industrial carrots? Well, they sell them in the supermarket to people like you. And then we begin to wonder why it is that the cancer rate's gone up from 1 in 33 100 years ago to 1 in 2 today. Well, mull that one over a little bit. And keep in mind that that same supermarket that's selling that industrial crap to everybody out there in the marketplace can order organic produce. And so we use organic carrots. We juice them here, and we drink organic carrot juice. So you can buy these same organic carrots. You have to order them, so we buy them 50 pounds at a time. That's a two-week supply, 50 pounds of organic carrots. And get this, when we buy these organic carrots in the health food store, they cost us five times as much. When we buy them in the supermarket, they only cost double. So the supermarket's gaffing us a little extra there. But here's the surprising part. This same produce manager can get organic just about anything that's available to anybody else out there in the marketplace. Now tuck that one away in your heart. It could well be that you're not too far away from organic fruits and vegetables. It could well be that whether you live in Phoenix, Arizona, Los Angeles, California, or New York City, you can walk into your local supermarket, go to the produce manager and say, hey, listen, could you order and get for me organic carrots, organic celery, organic apples, organic this, organic that? And I think you'll be amazed. Now, our local stores here can get it, and they have it. They order it for us. They won't carry it in their stores, but they'll order it for you. And it costs less than in the health food stores, you know, if you're concerned about price. Now, in looking at the issues, the environmental group Friends of the Earth claims that some apples are sprayed with pesticides up to 35 times before they reach the stores. Now, I've heard of 14 times. I've never heard of 35 times. Some 50 different chemicals are used on apples alone. The United Kingdom's Pesticide Residue Committee found that pesticide residues in 27% of food tested. Of these, 2% contained levels above the legal limits. Conventionally grown bananas use enormous quantities of pesticides, including organophosphates. And the United States Consumers Union found that many fruits and vegetables carry pesticide residues that exceed the limits that the EPA consider safe for children. Now, according to a Consumers Union report, even one serving of some fruits and vegetables can exceed safe daily limits for young children. Did you hear that? According to the Consumers Union report, even one serving of some of these fruits and vegetables can exceed the safe daily limits for young children. Methyl parathion and organophosphate accounts for most of the total toxicity of the foods that were analyzed, particularly peaches, frozen and canned green beans, pears, and apples. A pesticide called chloramiquat is used to improve the yield and shape of pears. It's never been licensed for use in the United Kingdom, and yet in 1999, imported pears sold and eaten in Britain were found to contain up to five times more pesticide than the World Health Organization's legal safety limit. You know what happens when they come up to the legal safety limit? Do we then go to work to lower the amount of pesticide on the food? No, we raise the legal limit. That's all. Just raise the legal limit. Now, let me pass on one more little tip to you. There's a product out there in the marketplace. You can buy it in capsules called activated charcoal. Charcoal is an antitoxin, an anti-poison. And here's the way it works. They discovered, you know, this is science at work. Here's your tax dollars at work. Discovered that activated charcoal will absorb 60,000 times its weight in toxins. First tested by a French chemist back in 1806. He took, I think it was 3 grams. 3 grams, that's a lot of arsenic. That ought to kill a horse or two, 3 grams. And he ate it and followed it immediately with activated charcoal with no ill effect. Now, I'm not advocating that you eat cyanide, arsenic, and toxins and poisons, and then see if I'm telling you the truth. You can pick up some information in the literature concerning activated charcoal. But did you catch these numbers? Did you see how many of the fruits and vegetables, the foods that you eat, like bananas that come, you know, from Colombia or someplace, you know, overseas, they're sprayed and they've got these toxins, they've got these chemical poisons on them. Have you thought about maybe taking just routinely, like you do your vitamins and minerals? That's what I do. You know, I take my vitamin and mineral supplements, and I take 2 charcoal tablets every day. Just routine. The stuff's harmless. But in the event that you poison yourself, and actually that's what we keep it for. We keep it here in the house in case somebody eats some rat poison or gets salmonella poisoning or something else. You can take charcoal. That's the old lady's remedy. That's what people were doing 100, 200, 500 years ago when they got sick. They took charcoal. solved their problem. Now today, you go to the hospital and have your stomach pumped. Today, you go to the hospital, they fill you full of drugs. If you don't die, you're cured. If you do die, it was in the hands of God when he came in the door. So if you were to just eat, just take two charcoal tablets every day, that'd be 365 days a year. You just take them routinely. That charcoal will absorb 60,000 times its own weight in toxins. It's one of your first organic devices or defenses against toxins. There's no need to strain your liver to take out poisons from your body if you can take the poisons out before it gets to your liver. You know why work any harder than is absolutely necessary? Now, organophosphates are one of the most worrying types of pesticides currently being used. They are neurological poisons and work on humans in much the same way as they do on insects. And some of their effects include damage to the nervous system, causing headaches, blurred vision, difficulty in breathing, vomiting, and loss of memory. Later, it causes convulsions, coma, and even death can result. But you can avoid that with activated charcoal. The EPA considers 60% of all herbicides, 90% of all fungicides, and 30% of all insecticides to be potentially carcinogenic, that is, cancer-causing. Listen to that. The EPA considers 60% of all herbicides, 90% of all fungicides, and 30% of all insecticides to be potentially carcinogenic. I'll bet you have herbicides, fungicides, and insecticides on the shelf in your garage right now. Future fruits and vegetables are likely to be genetically modified so that they freeze and defrost well. Mushrooms are normally grown in compost made from manure from animals fed on a proportion of GM feed. Non-organic mushroom growers use chemical pesticides and formaldehyde as well as methyl bromide and fungicides. Almost all non-organic corn is genetically modified. In tests, carrots are regularly found to exceed maximum residue levels and are often treated with organophosphates. I mean, boys and girls, this is the food that you're eating out of your supermarket day in and day out. I don't think you should be surprised when you get to age 40, 50, or 60 that you come down with cancer. Hardly anybody that I know that is now my age hasn't had cancer, heart attack, or some other kind of debilitating disease, operation, or something else. You know, here I am 65. I don't have all of my operations. I still have my gallbladder, tonsils, adenoids, appendix. I'm in good health. And, of course, I'm staying away from as many of these toxins and poisons as I can. They're out there, and it takes effort. Costs a little more money. In the long run, it's actually cheaper. It's actually cheaper to eat organically because I don't have to buy health insurance. And yeah, I buy bananas in the supermarket. And I don't know what those farmers are putting on those bananas down in Colombia or Costa Rica. So I suck down a couple of little black pills, you know, every day, activated charcoal, just in case there's some toxins in there. We can filter those out in the stomach or out of the bloodstream before it gets to my liver, so I don't overtax my liver. You know, you get to be 65 or 70 years old, you haven't got very many years left. You better take care of what little you got. Now, when you go to choosing organic, organic fruits and vegetables can be purchased in many forms, including fresh, dried, canned, and frozen, and they will not contain chemical pesticides. They're always grown in organic soil. Don't be surprised to find that your organic products rot more quickly. They rot, and they're designed to do that. You see, if your food spoils, then it's got enzymes in it. The objective is to buy it fresh and eat it before it spoils. If you're looking for long shelf life, that is, you want to buy bananas that will stay on the shelf until you get around to eating them 3 or 4 weeks later, that's not food. That's an industrial chemical. Industrial chemical. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, back in 1970, the world food supply was about 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to 38 days. And the global 2000, the mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population. In Revelation 6, the God of Israel told us exactly the same thing, essentially the same words. He said, false prophets, war, famine, and disease. False prophets, mad politicians, disease, and famine. That comes from our scientists. And then our preachers, they go around telling us that it's all good. Don't worry about a thing. Everything's fine. You can forget about God. He didn't mean what he said anyway. Well, you know, back in 1920, about half of our people lived on the land as subsistence farmers. They produced their own food, and they produced food for the rest of the world and for you and me. Today, we Americans have now chosen to live in the city. There's only about 3% of us left out here on the land. 97% of us have moved to the city and are no longer self-sufficient in their food or food production. You know, we produce this grain for export, all right, and then we turn around and import half of all the food we eat, grapes from Chile, Mexican tomatoes, berries from Guatemala, and our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this global 2000 world population control program. I have observed that these globalists with their genocide agenda have a cause that they seem to be willing to die for, and that's why I say I'm going to let them die for their cause, and I'm going to try to live for mine. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary now on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call right now to order yours. The number's 417-273-4967. And my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, just go to the website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine, send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct, 417-273-4967. Well, when we're choosing organic, keep in mind that organic fruits and vegetables may be oddly shaped and less colorful than non-organic. Don't be put off. This is the natural appearance as nature intended. That's the way God designed it. These foods are more nutritious, taste much better. They often contain more fiber. Organic fruits and vegetables are often prepackaged to ensure that they're indeed organic. If you buy them loose, ask to see some evidence of certification. Be skeptical. When you're drinking organic, in health terms, what you drink is just as important as what you eat. Fortunately, in addition to organic food, there is an ever-increasing variety of organic drinks on the market to appeal to all ages and tastes. Choosing organic drinks means that you are naturally reducing the number of chemicals involved in their manufacture. Organic fruit and vegetable juices are prepared from organic produce, and all of the benefits of these products will be present in your choice of drink. Now remember that it is important to choose healthy organic drinks over those that have little or no nutritional value. You know, something that's really nutritional, something that you can really sink your teeth in, you know, like Coca-Cola, Pepsi. For example, organic cola is preferable to non-organic in that natural flavors and sweeteners are used. However, cola is not in itself a healthy drink. Kind of reminds me of the virgin whore syndrome, doesn't it? We Americans are so addicted to soda pop that now, well, let's see, we want to drink healthy soda pop, so let's drink organic soda pop. Organic soda pop? A virgin whore? A whore without disease? Well, I guess if you've got to drink soda pop, organic soda pop is better than the natural, inorganic, chemical glop that's sold to us in the form of Coke and Pepsi. But did it ever occur to us that if we could get raw organic milk, can you imagine how much better that would be for your children than organic cola? You know, boys and girls, the purpose for eating is to get nutrition. You know, the purpose for putting gasoline in your car is fuel. You got to have something in there that's going to run the engine. Your food is the fuel that goes into your body. Now, I don't think any of you would even begin to entertain the concept of let's stretch our gasoline a little farther. And let's mix 10% diesel oil or diesel fuel with our gasoline. You know your car is going to run on this mixture of 90% gas and 10% diesel. Do you think it's going to work as good? Do you think it's going to smoke more or less? Do you think you're going to get as good a mileage or poorer mileage by putting in 10% diesel into your gasoline? I don't know of anybody who would think about mixing 10% antifreeze with their automatic transmission fluid and then put it into their automatic transmission, do you? I don't know, maybe ATF and antifreeze taste good, but people will take better care of their cars than they do of their own bodies. Now that's a perversity if I've ever heard of one. People will take better care of a machine than they will of their own body. And your body's a pretty neat machine if you stop and think about it. But it requires fuel, and the fuel that goes into your body is in the owner's manual. The owner's manual is what we call the Holy Bible. It's called the Scriptures. And in there are whole chapters that tell you what kind of fuel you should put into your bodies and what kind of fuel you should avoid. People don't follow that advice. But when you buy a new Ford automobile, I notice that people are very cautious, very careful about following the recommendations of the manufacturer. People aren't nearly as concerned about following the directions of the manufacturer of your body. I know it's a wild new concept, but why don't you entertain it? Organic cola just isn't as good as whole, raw, fresh milk. Now, some of the main considerations for health, the best options are organic fruit and vegetable juices. These are grown without pesticides and other toxic chemicals, and even the packaging has to meet organic specifications. Freshly squeezed juices should be your first choice, but concentrates are fine. Yeah, if freshly squeezed juices are my first choice, I think I'll stick with the first choice. Concentrates our second or third choice, aren't they? There is some controversy over whether water can be certified organic. There are organic brands on the market, but critics claim that there is no way that they can reasonably trace the source of underground springs. Organic squashes are produced without the use of citric acid and artificial sweeteners such as aspartame. However, even organic brands can contain high levels of sugar, so all squashes should be heavily diluted with pure water. Now, let me point something out here about water. You know, water is a pretty important element in your diet. You need to drink about 50% of your weight in ounces. So when you weigh 200 pounds, you need to drink 100 ounces of water a day. And here's one of the things that's kind of a shocker. People will drink coffee, orange juice, Coca-Cola, and all of these contain water. I mean, after all, your coffee is made with water. But when you mix coffee with the water, and it gets down into your stomach, it sends a signal that says this has to be digested. So it runs through your digestive tract and is sorted out, and you can then go in and urinate. On the other hand, water goes right through your stomach lining and directly out into your cells through your bloodstream. Thins your blood and goes out in your bloodstream. I've done some programs here on water. Go to the archives and take a look at Dr. Batman. I think it was Dr. Batman. I don't have the exact dates here, but he discovered, he's an Iranian doctor, he discovered that much of the disease, things that we call disease, you know, like asthma, are simply dehydration. And people's bodies are dehydrated because they drink inordinate amounts of fluids in the form of Coke and Pepsi and orange juice and coffee and tea and things like that, and they don't drink pure water. And because they don't drink enough water, they become dehydrated, and then they suffer. Now, if you ask these people, are you drinking enough water? They say, oh my God, yes, I drink a gallon of coffee a day. No, well, then you're not drinking enough water. And the formula is fairly simple. It's take your body weight in pounds and then divide that in two. And whatever that number comes up, that's the number of ounces per day of water you need to drink. If, on the other hand, you decide that, well, I want to drink a gallon of coffee a day, not the best stuff for you, but if you're drinking a gallon and you drink a gallon of water, well, then you've solved your problem. But if you drink a gallon of water, you won't have enough in you to drink a gallon of coffee, I'll guarantee it. To drink half your body weight in water takes some effort. But the health rewards, I think, are well worth it. You know, people will tell me they've got carpal tunnel syndrome, or they've got allergies, or they've got asthma and things like that, you know. I drink fresh, raw milk. I drink organic juices, and I'm in pretty good health. And I don't have carpal tunnel syndrome. I can milk three cows by hand in about, I'm going out now, I'm going to finish this program. I'll go out and milk my cows. I got three out there. I'll get 5 gallons of milk out of those three cows. I've got two calves on them. I'll take out the balance, 5 gallons. It'll take me about 30, 40 minutes to milk those three cows, get 5 gallons. And I'm not going to come back in the house complaining about sore hands or that I'm stressed out or something like that. I do it once or twice a day, every day, you know, 7 days a week. You know, there's a big payoff that comes from eating organic, taking care of your health. When you get to be old and full of years, instead of shuffling around with a walker or being wheeled around in a wheelchair, and you'll be out there when you're 60, 70, 80 years old. The guy that, I forgot his name now, but the guy that runs 60 Minutes on CBS, he was being interviewed the other day, and I think it was on 60 Minutes or something like that. He's 87 years old. He was just made the executive vice president of something of CBS the other day. The guy's in perfect health. The guy's in perfect health. He's 87 years old. He's still working. Look at Andy Rooney on CBS. He was a war correspondent during World War II. The guy must be in his 80s. I mean, the guy's got to be pushing 90. Andy Rooney, take a look at him. Healthy as a horse, working every day. You know, people that retire at age 62, 65 die by the time they're about 68 and 73. I've noticed over the years that people that just work, I talked to an old guy by the name of Gould one time. He's 87 years old, Humboldt County, California. He said he had bought and sold every ranch in Humboldt County, California, except two in his lifetime. Bought and sold every ranch in Humboldt County except two. He was 87 years old. I was a young kid, probably 20, 22 years old when he was 87. I asked him, how come he doesn't retire? He said, retire? What for? What am I going to do in retirement? Die? He said to me, a man's life is his work. Work is my friend. When he said work is my friend, I didn't know what he meant till years later when I read The Richest Man in Babylon. So if you're thinking about retiring, or if you have already, why don't you think about coming out of retirement and going back to work? If you want to live to be 90 years old, take a look at George Burns. He was still making movies when he was in his 90s. The guy was working all the time. So was Bob Hope. Bob Hope worked constantly. He's always working. He's always working, doing something. Kept busy, kept active. Both of them lived to be 100 years old. Long life is associated with good, healthy living, good, healthy foods, and work. Productive lives. And that's just where it's at. If you got some exceptions to the rule, old George Burns used to light up his cigar. I'm not sure that he inhaled. I think he was more like Bill Clinton. He didn't inhale. Alcoholic drinks. You know, organic beer, wine, and spirits are a much better bet than non-organic alternatives. The hops that are used for making beer are generally grown with nitrates and organophosphates, herbicides, and fungicides. Now remember, these herbicides and fungicides, 90% of fungicides are carcinogenic and cause cancer. GM yeasts are also approved for use, and GM strains of barley are currently under development. Organic hops, however, are grown without any of these, and the biggest manufacturers of organic beer are the Germans, who produce a higher yield of organic hops. That's why I drink German beer. I drink imported beer because the beer that's made in the United States is made with GM barley, GM yeast, and made by industrial chemical companies, you know, like Miller and Anheuser and Coors and so on. You know, these guys are buying the ingredients from industrial agriculture, and the Germans don't do that. Well, I wouldn't say that all Germans don't do that, but many of the Germans don't. So why don't you shop around and start asking for organically produced wines? How do you produce this wine? How is it done? You get onto the webpage and you go to the manufacturers of these products. And like as not, you'll find out what they make it with. If it's organic, they'll be bragging it up. If it isn't, they won't. But oftentimes you'll find little clues in the process. Look for those little clues. And don't forget this book. This is a dynamite little book. It doesn't tell you everything that there is to know about organic. There are hundreds of books out there that tell you about organic and cover it in greater detail and probably a whole lot better than this. But this is a dynamite book, Organic Living in 10 Simple Lessons. Karen Sullivan. Organic Living in 10 Simple Lessons. This one came from Barnes & Noble. I doubt if it cost $10. And it's filled with all kinds of neat stories and information about the organic process or the organic movement. And it's not one of these radical books trying to get you to give up on eating meat, and it's not written by vegetarians, you know, they got some axe to grind, or some animal rights activist that tells you if you eat meat, you know, you're akin to going to hell and burning in hell for eternity, something like that. But it's a pretty level-headed, plain-talking, little pamphlet-type book, about 130-140 pages, covers 10 subjects, 10 topics in here. And don't forget organic acres, USA, acres. The guy that publishes this is an old buddy of mine. And I don't get paid anything for doing this, but Charlie Walters is a pioneer in organic. Not just organic fruits and vegetables, you know, in your backyard, but with commercial growers and operators all over the United States. I mean, guys that, you know, have 500 acres of this or that or something else, and they grow this stuff organically. Whether it's 100 acres or 500 acres, there's a lot of commercial growers. And there's a lot of corn growing in America, a lot of grains growing in America that are organic. And you can find out who these growers are and where this organic produce, where this organic product is located from acres. The number is 1-800-355-5313. Again, that's 1-800-355-5313. Well, I guess that about does it for organic. I'm sure you're probably tired of organic, so let's get off that subject and we'll come back and we'll talk about history next week with Parthia. And we'll take a look at the Parthian kingdom next time when we come back next week. All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour and the Editorial Review. Now, The Law Hour and Editorial Review is brought to you by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, just go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log, schedule of archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, there's the signal. It says my time is up. I've got to leave it right there. So I'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, God willing. So until then, good night, friends.